Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. We'll tell everybody at a little after 4:20, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, the Washington, D.C. Sports Media Personality of the Year, also works for Fox Sports, will be on with us to talk about Jaden Daniels, that kid out in Washington, and certainly the Commanders' upset of the, can they upset the Lions? That'll be a tall mountain to sort of climb, so to speak. So we'll see what Kelsey feels about that. Also, Kelsey also covers the Baltimore Ravens, so she'll give her opinion of what's happening there as they play a monumental game against the Buffalo Bills this coming weekend. At 4 Farley, Ali Cosell, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans. Ali will be on with us to talk after the Pels. A big win last night, Charlie, on the road against Chicago. But then the bad news as they play Dallas tonight, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. Pregame will start at 6:30, but tip-off at 7. And again, right here on the Big 870 WWL, no Zion tonight. After 24 minutes, he got to take another rest.
Mike, let's talk about the positive first.
They won.
They won. And the way they won, I mean, this was a tight game throughout, and then the fourth quarter, they just explode, Mike. I mean, you watched it last night. The Pels went on a 22-6 run. Jose Alvarado couldn't miss at one point. He just started launching threes. He makes four straight three-point shots. Trey Murphy, once again, fantastic, 32 points. And you heard kind of in my sports flash there, Mike, Jake Madison bringing up a great point yesterday when we had him on the show. Trey Murphy's surge in development in his fourth year in New Orleans is what has really made Brandon Ingram expendable for this team. They have all the faith in the world in Trey. That's why they paid him. He's under extension for the next 4 years with this team, and he's looked awesome this year. He's taken that step that you hope that he would take. And that's been, I mean, outside of a couple of bright spots like you've seen with, you know, the rookie center Even Misi being great early on in his young career, Trey Murphy has been fantastic. He's missed some time due to injuries at points, but he has really taken the major step that you're hoping he would take. That's the positive. Now, to your point about the negatives, Zion Williamson not playing tonight. Mike, the Pelicans are playing their 22nd game in the Smoothie King Center this season. How many of those games has Zion Williamson played?
If you wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah, I told you off air. Three. He's played in three of their 22 home games. And listen, when I was watching the game last night, Zion Williamson, 24 minutes played, right? And that was my assumption.
He made his influence felt.
He definitely made his influence felt. He was plus seven in those 24 minutes, 21 points scored, 10 of 14 shooting, the nine assists. He was dishing out dimes, especially in the fourth quarter as well, seven rebounds. It was a good, strong performance from Zion Williamson. The 24 minutes made me assume that they were not playing him the regular starter load. For those that don't know, 24 minutes is like two-thirds of a regular starter's minutes. And I'm not even talking like Tom Thibodeau's starter minutes, right? I'm talking a regular NBA starter on any given night should be playing anywhere from, 35-ish minutes. He played 24. And so my thought process was that Zion would be, kind of resting up, getting ready for tonight's game against Dallas. He is sitting out. It is a back-to-back. He is not playing. I mean, if that's the case and you're not playing him back-to-back, my question to you is, why don't you sit him out last night against Chicago and let him play in front of the home fans?
That would be my question.
It just doesn't make any sense to me, Mike.
I don't get it.
And so, once again, we're in January, and he's played in three home games. Like, he's averaging one home game a month at this rate. And that's not hyperbole. That's actually what we're seeing so far. So, and I know it's not all on Zion. I know it's also the front office, the coaching staff, the health department saying he shouldn't be playing back-to-backs. Okay. It's still frustrating, and it's frustrating for the fans that go to games. I feel the frustration.
If I'm paying my hard-earned money before the season, and a big part of that is I wanted to watch Zion, and now you play him on an away game, and you pull him from this game. Okay, somebody's got to have some form of common sense that if that was going to be the plan all along, you reverse it. You don't play him against the Bulls. You play him against the Mavs. Are they tone deaf about this completely?
It's common sense, Mike.
There's a lack of it somewhere.
It would make sense if you're not going to be playing them on those back-to-backs. Play them in the home game. Let the home fans see them. They've only seen them three times this year.
I don't get it, Charlie.
This is the 22nd home game they've played this season.
I don't get it.
I don't either. And so, the good news for the Pelicans is that there's a lot of pieces missing tonight on both sides. And I mentioned in the Sports Flash as well, because Luka Doncic has been out since Christmas. He suffered a calf strain way back then. He's going to be out for at least the next couple weeks. I think he's going to be reevaluated soon. Yeah. Kyrie Irving is doubtful. He made his return last night. So they're on a back-to-back just like the Pelicans are. He's doubtful for this game. Derek Lively suffered an ankle injury.
I don't think he'll play.
No, I don't think he will either. So I think the Mavericks are going to be without three of their starters in Derek Lively and Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Now, the Pelicans are going to be without Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, and Zion Williamson. So, it's look for Trey Murphy to have another big game tonight. I mean, Trey's coming off.
They need for him to have a big game.
Trey's coming off a bum ankle. He's coming off an ankle injury. He's put up 30 points in back-to-back games against the Celtics and the Bulls. And guess what, Mike? He played 39 minutes last night.
Yep.
And he's playing tonight.
Charlie, the whole cosmetic part of this, it don't look good. And again, whoever came up with this convoluted deal, it makes zero sense to cheat your fans that are paying their hard-earned money and they wanted to watch Zion and you play him on an away game instead. Makes zero.
It's tough, man.
Zero sense. Before we get into some football talk, and this is part of football, but, man, it seemed just like yesterday. Lowell Narcisse, I watched him at St. James High School. Was a terrific quarterback there, goes to LSU. He was at UT San Antonio for a while, enrolled at Nichols State, but decided to give up football and to get into coaching. And last year, he was at Ascension Catholic. They were an 11-2 football team last year at Ascension Catholic. Well, today it became official. We had kind of heard rumors over the weekend, but Lowell Narcisse is going to be the new head football coach at Thibodaux High School.
Wow.
And, man, a blink of an eye.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh?
I was watching Lowell at St. James High School. Now he's the new head football coach at Thibodaux High School. So congratulations to Lowell Narcisse. I know we're getting texts about anything new on the Saints head coaching front. No new news on that particular deal. Here's the crazy thing. Last night and early this morning, I did two shows out of New York. You know what the both hosts told me? Man, we think Aaron Glenn's going to take the job with the Saints. You talk to people down here, they think he's going to take the job with the Jets. So
it's his choice.
It's going to be Aaron Glenn's choice. I think he's going to have both jobs sort of laid out, and what particular job he feels more comfortable with is where he's going to go. But Aaron Glenn's got options at this stage. And so, again, it's so funny because you would think it would be flip-flopped. You would think people here would think he's coming here. People in New York would think he's going to New York, but it's just the opposite. And, man, all they do is complain about what's happening front office-wise. No GM. Who's going to make the choice on the head coach? Everything else out in New York. So, man, they got a lot of franchises that you just shake your head about at the end of the day. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and Kelsey Nicole Nelson right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can follow her at Listen In with KNN, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. She's the Washington, D.C. Sports Media Person of the Year. And if you don't believe me, I got a guy from the Bayou who took a picture over there at the White House to prove it. So, Kelsey, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. How about that? You go to the White House and you get your picture took by some coon ass from the Bayou. Ain't that something?
You know, I've lived a privileged life. I'm very blessed, Mike. Just very, very. And it shows you how life always goes 360. I absolutely love it. But thank you both for having me. Glad to be back.
Yeah, when he took the picture, he was like, Mike, I'm trying to picture where I've seen this gal before. And he said, you know, and then he said, all of a sudden it popped in my head. Oh, I know where. And so he had to call and tell me about it. So, again, congratulations. Kelsey.
Thank you so much.
I know we're going to get into Jaden and the kid and what's happened in Washington. A little bit about Baltimore right off the bat. A huge game, but you think about what Derrick Henry has meant to this football team, and he's not a young guy by any stretch. People say he's taken some hits, and the only thing I can tell him is he's also given a lot out. He has brought to the table a power running game, and he turns power into speed. And if you don't think he's fast, look how he's outrunning these 190-pound defensive backs out into the open field. He is a real freak of nature. As an athlete, now he trains his butt off each and every year to get ready for the grind of the NFL. But boy, has he been a huge addition to the Baltimore Ravens, and it didn't cost him a ton of money.
You know, Derrick Henry, and you know, you think about why everyone was so excited when he said he's coming to Baltimore, because everyone already knew what a dual threat Lamar Jackson was. And like, I mean, Derrick Henry is 1 year younger than me, Mike. Like, but the way he runs, the power, hard hitting running that he does, the mean stiff arms, which if you're a defender, you do not want to be on the other end. Derrick Henry is a guy that does not miss the gym. He does not miss weight training, and he's very, very into his health, right, and keeping his body active. So that's what I think the age factor doesn't come in, because he's very disciplined and very regimented, right, and being the best. But he wanted to come play with Lamar Jackson, and you think how dangerous he is. And Baltimore, remember, Baltimore is a team that has been known for their run game. They love to ground and pound the football, and Derrick Henry fits right into that philosophy. And I think what, you know, why the Ravens are one of the most dangerous teams running the ball, you think what he can lead, and then Justice Hill, who I don't think gets enough credit, also being great. You think about Keaton Mitchell as well, who, you know, since his career has come into a little bit of an injury, but Derrick Henry really is that spearhead of it. And then with Lamar Jackson at his best, it's just so dangerous. And like you said, he's so hard to stop. He's so hard to bring down. And sometimes he does start slow in some of Baltimore's games, but when he gets going, he gets going, and he still has those breakaway big runs. You know, to quote Lamar Jackson, I do think he's Lightning McQueen from Cars. All the 90s kids, and everyone should remember that, that whole franchise. But he's just so hard to stop. And, you know, he is the guy that can get into the end zone. So I'm going to say he is the perfect recipe. And a shout-out to Eric DaCosta and this Ravens franchise, because they knew they needed something. And I think Derrick Henry really has been a spark in Baltimore that really wants to finish unfinished business from last year. That taste of Kansas City is still in their mouth. So they feel like this might be the year with the addition of Derrick Henry.
Okay, to beat a man, you got to beat the man, but you got a game before you face the man, so to speak. And the buildup for this Ravens-Buffalo Bills game is enormous. You're not talking about a championship game now. The winner goes to the championship game. But, man, you talk about a rough road to get to the point where if Kansas City beats Houston, I think most people feel that'll be the case. Got to play it first, but boy, that is going to be a hellacious football game between two teams, two great quarterbacks. I think one thing Joe Brady has done with Buffalo, he's brought him a running game. It just is not all Josh Allen. But I think all eyes this weekend is going to be on Baltimore, Buffalo, and for that opportunity to play the man the next week.
My gosh, how lucky are we as football fans that we get this matchup? And like you said, it's just like the two best teams. We have the two picks that everyone's talking about for MVP. And I think for Baltimore, like you said, I mean, I think if they're able to do what they did previously against Buffalo, and I don't think it'll be that same type of game. Both these teams are in different positions now. But I think especially for Baltimore, you know, you think back to the first time they played Buffalo, you know, Derrick Henry just obviously getting used to this Todd Monken offense, right? And what Baltimore truly is trying to become an offense, that offensive identity. But I think the biggest thing that we're talking about in Baltimore is what they've been able to do on defense. They're talking about cornerback Nate Wiggins, our Darius Washington, a guy that doesn't get talked to enough about enough, you know, all pro Marlon Humphrey, who's beloved, you know, on that defense, Roquan Smith, and all these guys, but the changes that they were able to make, Kyle Hamilton, who I think other than that, you know, who Kyle Hamilton was been so strong, so young, Kyle Van Noy, like all these defensive guys who finally it seems like it's coming together. And I think especially since that bye week, Baltimore really finding that footing. But, you know, when you think about Baltimore's rushing attack, and I know the Bills can run the ball as well. And then what Lamar Jackson is able to do. I mean, Lamar Jackson made history, folks, this year. You think about it in terms of passing and running and the touchdowns. Like, he just seems to get better and better at the right time. So on both sides of the ball, them being so strong. And I think something that a lot of people have to think about, too, is that you think about back when they played the first time Baltimore's offensive line, right, and some of those young guys really just starting to mesh together. And so I think the fact that they've got to grow throughout this season, and I know there's a lot of talk about Zay Flowers, who probably won't be in the game since he was not at practice today, so very low optimism, but Rashad Bateman, who has really stepped up as of late. And then you think about the weapons, especially at tight end, you know, Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews, who has, I think, really shown the world, like, don't forget about me, and I'm still one of the top tight ends. Baltimore is dangerous, Mike, and there's a lot of excitement for this team. And so I think it's going to be a good game. Like, I think this is probably going to be the game that you're not going to want to miss. You're going to find a way to watch this game. But, you know, on the other side of the ball, like I said, Buffalo can run the ball. I mean, Josh Allen, dangerous on his legs as well. So it's really going to be up to Baltimore to see if they can still show this, you know, this defensive identity that they've been able to gain after ranking last, right, when the season started, Baltimore really being a laughing stock on defense, and really showing, you know, how strong their secondary defense can be. If they can get, you know, win the battle up front in the trenches. So super excited for this one. And I'll tell you, Baltimore, the fans here are feeling on a high. They feel like this is the squad that can finally overcome that playoff hump and hopefully get down to you all in New Orleans.
Kelsey, I know you got some Southern roots with you, but you grew up in that Baltimore, Washington area. The thoughts on Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do sort of off the field, because we see what he's doing on the field, that he has been kind of the jumper cables on the battery for this franchise. You know, I grew up watching, you know, when the then Washington Redskins, they were in old RFK. And that place was rocking because Joe Gibbs and those football teams were so good. And if they caught you, man, it was really, really loud. Off the field and covering the Commanders, can't think in the last maybe 15, 20 years of one guy that's put more oomph on that football team than Jaden Daniels.
JD5 is the most popular guy in town, Mike. I mean, everybody loves Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do. And you said it, I mean, just a calm, cool, collected guy. We talk about him like this. You know, and they literally just in D.C., his mom just got surprised with a custom jacket to wear to the game in Detroit. Like, everybody is buying in to Jaden Daniels and what he brings in so young. I think, you know, again, I think that's the biggest surprise of everything. Like, a rookie who somehow has made a city that has been through so much, you know, peril and turmoil with this franchise. You know, you think about it, again, I talked about that last time they went to the playoffs, I was working with the team and they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at that time. And Tom Brady leaving that team and Taylor Heineke at quarterback. And Taylor Heineke was a guy that people didn't fully believe in at the quarterback position. And then last time they won, like you think about almost 20 years ago. So the fact that he's been able to really help revitalize this squad. You have guys like Terry McLaurin, you know, very veteran, trusted, accomplished, talented wide receiver. Talking about Jaden Daniels, you know, emphasis and importance. Zach Ertz, another veteran guy. So, I mean, he's made everybody just talk about football being good in Washington and actually being able to believe in what they can do. And, you know, Commanders knowing that even though they're an underdog, they feel confident going into these games, like because of Jaden Daniels and knowing, you know, when it's, you think about this team and what they can do on fourth down, right? One of the best teams going, you know, converting fourth down. You think about what Dan Quinn has been able to bring in terms of this team having an identity again, and guys really believing in the locker room and having those issues and really guys being able to step up. I think it's been exciting. And I think the great thing about Jaden Daniels too is like, you never know who's going to be the next guy to step up. And, you know, though the running game struggled in that last game, you know, anything that happens, you know, Jaden Daniels has a remedy for. And I think that's what's been so special, Mike, about Jaden Daniels. And again, doing it, not trying to gloat in the glory, but he just wants to get back to work. After every game, he's ready for the next one. And so he's been really, really fun for this D.C. community to rally behind. And, you know, it just seems like everything good is happening right now. You talked about the stadium earlier, you know, Mayor Bowser and now President Joseph R. Biden signing into law that D.C. RFK Memorial Stadium Campus Revitalization Act, which gives the keys back to the city. And so now fans even maybe being like, maybe Jaden Daniels will one day play in D.C. I mean, there's just so much excitement around this team. I can't remember the last time like D.C. got to be happy, this happy for football.
And then, Kelsey, you know, I saw a post earlier from NFL Game Day calling Jaden Daniels the cardiac kid. And there's a couple stats I wanted to read off here. Because if you look back at Wild Card Weekend, it was all blowouts except for the one game that was competitive, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders versus Tampa Bay this past weekend. And Jaden, apparently in fourth quarter / overtime throughout the 2024 season, his team ranks first in points per game in those situations, 9 points per game. He has a 71.8 completion percentage, which ranks fourth, 13 passing touchdowns first, 116.2 passer rating second. So when games are competitive, it's tight, it's the fourth quarter, the rookie quarterback ranks top five in all of those statistics. And Dan Campbell was asked about him earlier. He said, quote, "He's dangerous. He's dangerous. He poses a major threat. He does not play the position like a rookie quarterback. He's composed. He understands how to progress. Mm-hmm. He sees the field well. He can buy time with his legs. He's a dangerous runner. He's smart. You can understand how he knows how to run that offense and what they're asking him to do." And then he goes on to talk about Terry McLaurin and, you know, the offensive line and everything like that. But what Washington fans have seen all season long and what NFL fans are just starting to see, Jaden Daniels, the poise of this young guy, when things get really tight and really tough late in games, he just finds a way to make the play to help his team win football games. It's been very exciting to see from such a young player.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the quarterback carousel that Washington had been on prior to Jaden Daniels. You know, fourth down used to be real scary here because you didn't know if you could trust that quarterback guy, but you talked about it, Washington really being the best team in the NFL. When it came to success on those fourth down conversions, and that's props. You know, I think we see the same thing in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh in terms of just trusting the quarterback, and that's the same thing with Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. Again, everybody trusting him on the squad, all the veteran players around him. I think he's really made the difference, right? We talk a lot about quarterbacks, National Football League, and what they mean, but Jaden Daniels has really been the glue that has held everything together here in Washington. And, you know, and it's like when the pocket collapses, what does he do? He can run and take off. He will make your defense pay. And I think what's so exciting is the ceiling. I mean, this is the first go around, and we know it's only going to go up from here. You know, people are already talking about, you know, could he be considered one of the greats of the game after just this rookie campaign? I think a lot of credit needs to be talked about that 17-play, 92-yard drive in that last game that took off 9 minutes, you know, off the clock for Washington, being able to control something like that. Like Jaden Daniels, again, the cardiac kid has been, you know, said all around D.C. And I said this earlier, you know, with all the shows I'm going on, I said, because the Commanders are the team you do not want to take to the end. Because if you do, they, one, can control the clock, and then, two, they know how to win in pressure situations. And, you know, everyone kind of reverts back to that Hail Mary against Chicago with sorry Bears fans. I know it's been a completely different team since that time. But, you know, I think really that was when the Commanders got to show the world, like, never give up on them. And so I think this game against Detroit, though on paper, yes, Detroit's talented. You know, I know St. Brown and Gibbs, and they have so many weapons. But, again, if it's a close game, the Commanders are a team who can be poised under pressure because they've done it time and time again and know how to win close matchups. And Jaden Daniels is the face of that, never being unfazed. So super excited for this matchup. Again, there's going to be a large traveling party to Detroit. We see fans, you know, buying back into what this team is selling. And all you see around D.C. right now is Jaden Daniels jerseys. I mean, everybody is believing in this young kid. I'm going to call him a young kid. This young man who has put the nation's capital on his back.
That's that kid, Jaden.
That kid. And he likes that moniker too, because he doesn't say a lot. But, you know, when you kind of kid him about, man, yeah, the nickname, oh, man, I like it. I like that kid, Dio. And he is so humble for such a superstar young man.
Great kid.
In his mid-20s. He doesn't act that way, doesn't talk that way. You know, he's full of respect for everybody, if it's a fan, if it's media, whoever, does a fantastic job. And talk about fantastic jobs, you always do, Kelsey. Thanks so much for joining us, and we appreciate your time and insights every time we get a chance to bring you on here on the Big 870.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to seeing you out in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. All righty, that's Kelsey Nicole Nelson. You can follow her on Listen In with KNN. She is the D.C. Sports Media Person of the Year and also works for Fox Sports. We'll be back with Ali Cosell, covers the New Orleans Pelicans, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. He covers the NBA and the Pelicans, Ali Cosell. Ali, thanks so much for joining us. Explain to me in real English, why would the Pelicans play Zion last night on the road and not play him in front of the home folks? Here's my deal. You know, I'm talking now as a fan. If I paid my money, and part of that is I wanted to watch Zion. We see what type of difference he's made when he's on the court. Why are you playing him in Chicago and not playing him in New Orleans? This is almost sort of non-thinkable idea to do this.
Yeah, Mike, if I had a guess, and we're going to find out today here talking to Willie and the guys in a second, but if I had a guess, I would say it's because they honestly believe there was a chance he could play in both. If you watch the way they're monitoring his minutes in last night's game, you would have thought that they were going to probably try and play him tonight. But he played, I want to say, just about 10 to 12 minutes in that first half, in that first stint in the third quarter, another four and a half minutes. So he was at 16. And if the game had gone sideways, one way or the other, there's a chance Willie wasn't probably going to have to use him much, if at all. And therefore, his availability for tonight would have been probably stronger. So, that, like I said, that's just a guess. We'll find out. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. But usually you're right. If there is kind of that kind of reconditioning type of concerns, usually a team will play their player, of course, at home, especially the stars, instead of on the road. So I've got to believe that was it.
Yeah, it's got to be something that I ain't thinking of, because I'll be honest with you, that really doesn't pass the smell test. But last night, man, Jose, when you needed him, boy, he came through for you, 12 points, but it was hitting those threes one after the other, and it really got you back with a W, and I think you needed that coming off the bench. You needed some guy to spark your team. You needed something there. And Jose was able to give it to him last night against the Bulls.
Yeah, we've talked at length over the last couple months of how the team misses Zion, some of the big guns, like when Trey was out, Herb. But rarely do we ever talk about Jose missing, you know, 27 games. And he's honestly just as big of an impactful player on a lot of nights as a lot of these other guys. And so, yeah, you're right. You miss that guy off the bench that you know is just going to bring it, whether it's getting in, you know, an opponent's face to hound him while he's just trying to dribble the ball at the court, to honestly making three-point shots. And if I'm not mistaken, I think so far this season, Jose is the best shooter the Pelicans have from the outside. Look, Mike, he's proven that he's a shooter. You know, last year he had kind of a really great bounce-back year from his second season where he honestly – didn't finish a campaign strongly, didn't shoot well, ended it with an injury. And he's proven last year wasn't a fluke. So he's a keeper. At $4 million a year, he's as, you know, as reliable as they come on the court on what you can expect. And he's going to give you something. So whether it's a three, a steal, he gives you something every night.
I was watching a game, and to hear Joel Myers talk about it, and I was going to bring it up to you. He's not a great scorer. Javonte Green, what he does for you on the defensive side of the ball, and he was money last night for you. He came up with some big stops and everything, but a lot of times he's got to do the grunt work, Javonte Green. He made it work last night against the Bulls.
Yeah, he was brought over to New Orleans. They signed him for one specific reason. They knew they had lost Dyson Daniels, Najee Marshall, so they needed another bulldog with that kind of mentality. Defense first that can honestly give you like legitimate steals, cause disruptions, get you on the fast break and finish. and they went out and got him. But unfortunately, because the Pelicans' season went so bad, so poorly in that first, you know, third, you miss those type of things happening on the court, right? Usually these role players, especially defensive hounds, they don't show up unless your team's winning, right? So that's why I think it's taken some time for him to honestly, you know, kind of basically set his mark, so to speak, with his team and especially the fan base. But you're right. When you see the team can compete and you're playing, you know, every possession matters, a guy like Javonte, yeah, he shines. I think he's honestly maybe even a better defender than Najee just because his hands are quicker. He has these great instincts on when to disrupt the ball, get into a passing lane, or even come up with like a high-flying block, right? So it's similar to, also, honestly, Mike, you got to think back to when Josh Hart was here. It's amazing what a guy like that can do, like I said, when your team's winning. But when the Pelicans were losing in Josh Hart's final year here, nobody really talked about him, right? But when they started winning, all of a sudden, everything he was doing on court mattered, and everybody noticed. Same thing with Javonte now, like last night.
Ollie, looking at Trey Murphy and the jump that he's made in year four, it's been so exciting to see. That's what Mike and I kind of led off the show with when we were talking about the positives of this team. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans extended Trey, you know, well, he's one of them. Eve has also been great. But Trey and the leap that he's made in year four, right now averaging 21.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.8 assists per game this year. But in the new year, and the Pelicans have won, kind of quietly won four of the last seven games since, you know, the calendar turned to 2025. And in January so far, in five games that Trey has played, averaging 27 points per game, back-to-back 30-point performances, 30 at Boston and then 32 last night at Chicago. And, you know, my kind of point in asking you about Trey is that the leap that he's made was what the Pelicans were exactly hoping he would do in year four in New Orleans. And it's also made Brandon Ingram, I think, expendable. I think that you can move on from him at the trade deadline and still feel good about the future at the wing position because you have that core piece in Trey Murphy.
Yeah, just a couple of months ago, it was still a question mark, right? Could Trey fill the shoes of a starting scoring forward, specifically Brandon Ingram? And we weren't sure, right? I mean, he had shown plenty of glimpses. He could knock down a three ball. But seemingly, whenever an opponent put their best defender or just hounded him, right, made sure that he wasn't given any airspace beyond the three-point line, well, Trey was largely invisible in those games, right? It was even at the beginning of this year where he was ending up with just 8-9 shot attempts in, say, about 30, 35 minutes of play. And there we were asking, really, how do you get Trey going? How do you keep him involved? And Willie Green kept on telling us, well, yeah, we can do a better job. Everybody can do a better job. But Trey's also got to take it upon himself to be more aggressive, to be more rounded, right? To basically understand that where your shots are going to be able to come from. And now he's doing that. He's being aggressive, putting the ball on the floor. And that's all credit to him, right? That's all the offseason work he's done last few summers. And now it's paying off to where you saw it last night, 32 points, but I think he only made, what, 2 3-pointers, but got to the free throw line 12 times, made all 12. I honestly think, Charlie, what we're seeing is kind of an all-star jump. I think legitimately Trey Murphy's going to be considered for a future all-star game if he keeps this level up, because he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%, Ollie. And then looking ahead at the schedule, obviously tonight against Dallas, Mike, you mentioned no Zion Williamson tonight, no Brandon Ingram, no Herb Jones. However, the Mavericks are going to be without some key pieces as well. No Luka Doncic, no Derek Lively. And then I think they have Kyrie Irving listed as doubtful. It's probably not going to be playing tonight. A lot of pieces missing. This could be a game for Trey and the boys to kind of pop off and pick up another win.
Both teams are short-sheeted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and look, Dallas is coming in to where they haven't had Luka for a while, and they finally got Kyrie back last night, but it didn't matter. Denver killed them. And so, yeah, Mavericks have been floundering. I want to say they've lost like 4 of the last 5, something along those lines, right? They've been losing a lot more games than winning ever since Luka's gone down. So this is a very much a winnable game, and I don't think they'll have Derek Lively either. So suddenly you're talking about three, probably maybe there's three best starters when you think about impact all over the court. That's kind of where the Pelicans were, right, for a couple of months. So this is a team that should, you know, you should take advantage of when they're that shorthanded. And I think the Pelicans have enough firepower, even without Zion, right? DeJounte's been playing better. CJ's as steady as they come. And we just talked about Trey and Jose.
And then looking a little bit ahead, you have back-to-back home games against Utah as well. Ollie, we've talked about this before with you, about the Pelicans' struggles with Utah, but Utah isn't a very good team either.
No, they're not.
I mean, we were looking at this January slate, and it was like, okay, there's some winnable games here. If the Pelicans start picking up some momentum, we'll see what can happen. But your thoughts on the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, it's one of those head-scratchers, right? Just like it was for the last few years with Orlando, Chicago before, you know, they took another step, especially Orlando. Pelicans were losing to teams that were mediocre, and Utah was one of them for the last, you know, 3-4 years. I don't know what it is, but every time they play the Pelicans, something goes awry, whether a Pelican gets injured in the game or simply Utah's kind of hot, right? So the Pelicans should be able to beat this team. Utah's now been floundering for a while. We're past that initial stage where every team first, 4 weeks of the season thinks they can win. You're kind of hyped because it's a new season. Well, Utah's now, you know, halfway through their season, losing a lot more games. And unlike the Pelicans, they don't have guys returning, like stars returning from injury. That's going to uplift all the spirits. So this should be a game they win because Lauri Markkanen, he's not playing as advertised. People are now talking about this guy's not even playing at an all-star level. Did he get paid too much now by the Jazz? So when you've got that talk going around, you know that that team's not coming in at their best. So that's another game. You're right. Pelicans should be able to take advantage of.
Ollie, thanks so much for joining us always, and enjoy your insights and your super job. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Ollie.
Absolutely, anytime, guys. And have a good rest of your night.
Thanks so much. Ollie Cosell does a great job covering the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans, and you can hear that game against the Mavs tonight. 6:30 will be pregame. Tip off at 7 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back to finish up here, hour number one on the Big 870. Right after this message. I want to thank Kelsey Nicole Nelson and also Ollie Cosell for joining us in hour number one. And number two in the 5 o'clock hour, Brad Evans from Sports BetQL Insider. BetMGM will be on with us to talk playoff games and also national championship game. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottie along with Charlie Long in studio at 545. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature at 520. Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL will join us to talk about the playoff games and also the national championship game. Before I go to Jimmy online, also want to tell everybody too, at 6:30 tonight, right here on the Big 870 WWL, Pelicans pregame, and at 7 o'clock, tip-off between the Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. Before I go to Jimmy, let me answer a couple of texts that were sent. One was about Quinn Ewers and where I had him rated, and it was a third-round pick before the season. Well, guess what? It stayed that way. Man, I've had people tell me why. I mean, so-and-so had him rated as a top 15 guy. No, that's not the case.
He's a top 15 guy. He's getting a GM fired.
There's no way. And so could he be a second-day pick? Yes. And second-day pick means second, third round. And I'm not saying some team in round two won't take him, but I think he's more of a third-round pick guy at this stage. And this is in a quarterback-starved draft. And that's all you need to kind of figure out. In a league that is starving for quarterbacks, they don't have enough in this draft class, he's going to be a third-round pick.
Mike, it's interesting because Quinn Ewers was such like a supernova prospect coming out. He was like
Number one or number two on every rating service.
Right, and he started out at Ohio State, didn't play up there. He ends up transferring to Texas, and he's been the starter for the last couple of years there. But at the same time, you see a lot of – like, he's been a consistent start. I think he started 28 games throughout his time in Texas. He's 23-5, I'm pretty sure, is his record. The good team record, but as a player and a prospect looking for the NFL draft, I'm right there with you, Mike. He's a day two pick at best.
Yeah.
If not, you know, maybe he even falls out of the third round. And I don't think so because it's such a bad quarterback class and there's so many teams that need a quarterback. Well, but this is a guy that if he's taken on day one, that's
shocking to me. The other thing, too, is Charlie's hurt a lot.
Yes.
He gets banged around. Now, if you think it's tough at Texas, wait till you get into the National Football League.
My question is, Mike, you know, did he have the option to come back to school and maybe do like kind of take the Carson
at another
Beck
school.
Route? Yeah, like take the Carson Beck route.
He had that option.
Where, you know, Beck decided to move on from Georgia. He goes to Miami. He gets a huge NIL deal with the Hurricanes. He would have probably been in the same spot, Mike. Maybe a day two pick in this draft. He's not a first round pick. So he goes back to school. He gets plenty of NIL money to do so. And then he gets another shot at it. Maybe try and get some better tape out there for next year. That's what would have made sense to me for Quinn Ewers.
That's what I told you last week. That's what I would do if I was him. I know that there were schools willing to offer him a lot of money.
I think he may have gotten some bad advice, Mike.
I think that was his own choice, Charlie. I think he wants to play in the NFL. And he's being told incorrect information on where he's getting picked. I'm just telling you. Nope, somebody's in his ear about that.
I'm right there with you. He is not a day one pick at this point. And so, good luck to him. I mean, You don't want to wish any ill will on the kid, but it's just looking at his prospects for what he's looking at for this 2025 draft, he's not a first-round pick.
And you could make more money coming back to college than you could in year one as a third-round pick.
Exactly.
Other thing, too, is somebody asked me, what's the big difference between Joe Brady with the Carolina Panthers and Joe Brady with the Buffalo Bills? The big difference is Joe thought the same plays that he was running at LSU could be run at Carolina. Okay, the hash marks are different. In college football, the hash marks are much wider. They're condensed in the NFL. So he had to go back and relearn how the NFL game is being played and how to use different plays for a condensed hash mark. Once he got that down, you saw his impact with the Buffalo Bills. And he brought to the table a running game to them that they didn't have before. And you think about what James Cook does, Ty Johnson. Before that, it was basically the Josh Allen show. He was the quarterback and the top runner. He brings them a lot of the same sort of plays that he had at LSU, run a little differently, but he uses them, both James Cook and Ty Edwards, Ty Johnson, the same way he used Clyde Edwards-Helaire. the exact same way. And both are really good receivers coming out the backfield. Now you say, okay, well, his offensive line's great. Okay, other than Deion Dawkins, name me another guy that's starting.
Is my guy Osiris Torrance playing, Mike?
No, he's not.
Oh, drats.
But you could have named that one. But I'm just saying, I think the big difference is...
I'm just a UL fan.
Yeah, and I think he's a hell of a player. I think eventually he'll be a really good player for the Bills. But I do think with Joe, the big difference is him getting used to the NFL game as opposed to the college game where the hash marks were wider. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. I'll make it quick. I know you're coming to break. Me and Charlie agree on just about everything. The Zion dilemma, you know, we got him locked in for a few years. I know Stephen A. Smith yesterday was saying trade him. He wants out.
Stephen A's been
you know, we've
that.
Already, I've told y'all this before. I told you, Charlie, we fumbled away Chris Paul. We fumbled away Anthony Davis. We can't afford to fumble this guy away. Tonight, they're playing Dallas. We're going to have 5,000 people there. Okay. The crowds are getting horrid to the point people are saying we got to move. Gail's going to, you know, she could move him to Vegas, blah, blah. I know Dennis
Lausch and
all that.
They're not going to move that team.
Vegas is going to be an expansion team.
They're going to be an expansion team with Seattle.
They're going to add 32, okay. Just like the NFL.
All right, fine. And my question to you guys is this. Okay, so Zion's not playing tonight at home, Dallas Mavericks tonight. I don't think Luka Doncic is either, maybe not even Kyrie Irving. So, yeah, the big stars are out for the game tonight. But my question to you guys is this load management issue, because a lot of people on social media are like, oh, here's Zion doing it again. Is this his choice? Is this his new agent's pushing, hey, my guy needs time off because, you know, we're pushing for a trade, that whole narrative? Or is this something internally from the organization? I tend to believe it's organizational that's telling him not to play tonight. You know,
well,
my question
but
to you
Jimmy,
guys is,
that makes no sense, zero common sense.
Who's choosing this? Who's choing this tonight,
it,
Mike?
Is it Zion,
his agent, or the leadership, Willie Green and the organization?
It all goes back to Zion. That's his choice. Okay, it's his choice. But my thing is, it makes no common sense when you have your own fan base that is giving out their hard-earned bucks, and a big part of that is to watch Zion, yep. And you go play him in Chicago, but you won't play him in New Orleans? Explain me that. There's no common sense in that at all. And what Charlie brought up, 3 games this year he's played. 3 in New Orleans.
I mean, he's only played 9 overall, so it's not really that
but
crazy.
Still, but still, only a third of them here.
This is the Pelicans' 22nd home game of the season tonight. They're halfway through the regular season, by the way, and he has played 3 games in the Smoothie King Center.
I don't get it. I really don't. That to me, somebody there has got to get in somebody's ear and say, hey, look.
This is stupid.
This is not smart, and you are pissing off your fan base by doing this.
We've got plenty of texts that are right there with us, Mike, and I agree with the frustration of New Orleans fans because it's ridiculous. If he's not playing back-to-back, right, sit him in Chicago and play him in front of the home fans because he hasn't done it all year.
Has not.
So that's where my frustration lies. And in all honesty, I didn't see this coming. The news that he wasn't playing tonight, like with him playing 24 minutes last night in Chicago, which once again is like 2/3 of the regular workload of a starter in the NBA. I thought they were sitting him for minutes so that he could play tonight. And not even like we have a text that made a great point. Just play him 20 minutes again tonight.
Exactly.
Right. What's the harm in it?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
I don't know, Charlie. And maybe they're not thinking on the common sense part of things. I had a text about what's the difference between the college and the pro hash marks. No, in the college game, the hash marks are much wider than in the pro game. And so when you calling plays or designing plays, that's the difference. That's the difference. And even Joe has talked about, I had to relearn the game, the difference between what was college football and what was the pros. And he adjusted it. But in Carolina, he was trying to run those plays that was working at LSU, but it wasn't in the pros because the difference in the hash marks. That's the big difference. In the college game, look at the difference in the hash and it does in the NFL. It's a much wider difference.
To your point about the rushing attack for Buffalo as well, Mike, that you were talking earlier about James Cook going over 1,000 yards a season. But in the regular season, 16 touchdowns was tied for first in the NFL. It's no longer just Josh Allen, which is what I think makes this matchup so fascinating.
That's what makes it really good.
Because you have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson on one side, which one of our texters had texted in and said that's like, you know, the old-fashioned thunder and lightning, right, so to speak. But with Josh Allen, who's a dual-threat mobile quarterback as well, and what James Cook has done this year with Buffalo has been really under the radar impressive. So the rushing attack for the Bills versus the rushing attack of the Ravens, you know, it's going to be who gets that first stop, right? Because both defenses have been playing really well as of late. But both rushing attacks are going to try and pound it right out your throat, and it's going to be a fun game.
Kind of the X factor is Ty Johnson, because that guy, man, when they need something, you know, because Cook can't carry the ball all the time. They rushed the ball 44 times against Denver.
Yeah.
But where Ty came into play kind of rests James Cook a little bit on that touchdown play. Mm-hmm. Was there a better catch? Now, again, man, I had to watch that a couple times that his feet weren't out of bounds, that he didn't touch him. I mean, he came up with that catch. Ty's a really good receiver. And Kelsey Nicole Nelson watched him so much when he was at Maryland. Man, he was a heck of a football player at University of Maryland. He was a heavy-duty runner there.
I really like Ray Davis as well, Mike, the rookie back, but I think he's dealing with a concussion.
He's been banged up.
So I'm not sure if he's going to be playing.
So they got three guys.
Yeah, it's a good three-headed monster.
And that is a big part of what Joe Brady wants to do, run the football and not have it all on Josh's back. I know he's built like a lumberjack, but, man, in the NFL, they out to knock you out.
Sure.
And so you can't take that beating all the time. We'll be back, and we'll have on with us Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcasts. Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hola, amigos. Thanks for having me back.
Brad, right off the bat, I'll let you knock it out. National championship game. And the one thing I will say that Brian Kelly was not a likable figure toward the end at Notre Dame. When you look at the new coach now, he's made Notre Dame likable, and it's even showed up on the betting lines, because that line, they got a lot of people now that will tell me, man, I hated Notre Dame. I hated them. But now with that new coach, with Marcus Freeman, man, I like the way Notre Dame plays. Your thoughts on Ohio State Notre Dame?
Yeah, I like Notre Dame plus the points, quite honestly, because their defensive acumen. They're one of the stiffest and stoutest defense in the entire land. Ohio State is number one in the country EPA per play defense on the season, also number one EPA per play offense. They got firepower galore across that offensive weaponry. But I think Notre Dame's going to keep this somewhat tight. I think really honestly the best bet on the board is the under at 45.5 in this game. If you want to play this little parlay action, reduce the juice, get seduced by the juice, as I like to say, what I would play is Notre Dame up, get them up to like 14.5, take that total up a little bit higher, maybe to like 48.5, 50.5, and just do a simple two-legger, get it at low plus money, and fire away. I think this game will be fairly tight. And again, I think it's going to be nip and tuck and a low-scoring affair. I think it could be a field goal kicking contest there in the first half. May open up a little bit in the second half. But in particular, again, I like the under on the 45.5, and I'm playing this about a million different ways.
Brad, the one surprising game last weekend was just the physicality of the Houston Texans. They sort of limped down the stretch of the season, and man, they swung a bat and they were hitting everything. And the Chargers were on the other end of the bat. Now they play the team. Okay, you play Kansas City. I think it's 8.5. Last I remember that the Chiefs, that they've been, a couple weeks off for their starters. They play the Texans. But last week was all about the Texans' defense. It wasn't a great offensive show. Joe Mixon certainly made his presence felt. But, man, that really surprised me how well they dominated the Chargers on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to have to show that kind of stiffness if they're going to compete with Kansas City. And I think they can. I think right now with the spread, whether 8.5 or 9, too many points, regardless, this should be a one possession kind of game. I mean, that's the MO of Kansas City the entire year, finding a way to win some of these nail biters. And they're a team, if you look at the advanced data, just kind of middling, kind of may, and they've been that way all season. Number 17 in the last 5 weeks in EPA per play offense, 14 EPA per play defense. Now, the Texans have had their sicknesses, very glaringly there on the offensive side of things, although they came alive and really cured a few things last week. Number 27, though, EPA per play offense last 5 weeks. Better, you mentioned that defense, that upfront pressure, and on the back end, getting some timely interceptions, deflections as well. They're number 4 in EPA per play defense. Again, my best bet, if you're going to play the standard line, I like the Texans plus the 8.5. I kind of like the under in that game as well. Grabbed at the open at 42.5. It's down to 42 right now at BetMGM. And if you like the player props market, I love it. I think C.J. Stroud, I'm a loud, proud member of Team Stroud. I'm going to take the over on 13.5 rush yards. He was opportunistic last week, and I think you're going to see that again in the rematch against Kansas City. Remember, he ran for north of 20 yards last time these two teams met at Arrowhead back in week 16. So with that number only being 13.5 right now at BetMGM, one of my strongest plays is on that over, C.J. Stroud rush yards.
Eagles-Rams, I'm always impressed when a team doesn't play well and they still win. And that's what the Eagles did. Now, I will say this, the Packers, I don't know who came up with that game plan, but, man, you can pitch that one in the garbage offensively because, come on, you got to run the football more with Josh Jacobs. I didn't quite get that, but, man, it's tough for the Rams. They played a Monday night game. Now you got a cross-country play, and I know one thing, it ain't going to be Tahiti. When you play in Philly, it's going to be mighty cold, and they're giving, 8 or 9 degree weather for the Rams to play in Philly. Your thoughts, Eagles, Rams, and I think it's a touchdown, either 6 or 6.5.
6.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it finishes and closes like 7, 7.5. So yeah. If you want to bet the Rams, I would just play the patience game and wait closer to kickoff because I think the line is going to climb due to the weather. And, a lot of people are going to say, well, these southern latitude teams generally play indoors. They get outside in the elements and they fold like a house of cards. The good news is the Rams have a stellar run game spearheaded by Kyren Williams. So they can compete in rough conditions. And with the frigid temps, I think they can hang in this game. So, again, I'm going to wait this thing out to 7, 7.5. Honestly, the one player prop I love in this game is with the Rams. It's Puka Nacua over 2.5 rush yards. That is it. He's done this in 4 of his last 6 games. All we need is one carry. With his break tackle ability, maybe on an end around, on a jet sweep, maybe a backwards pass, he's going to gain at least 3 yards. So I think every cat is going to be out of the bag for Sean McVay in this game. And I feel that Puka Nacua is going to get at least one opportunity on the ground. So love that over again on 2.5 rush yards.
Brad, there are a lot of people down here that are rooting for that kid, Jaden. And even though the Saints aren't in the playoffs, the Washington Commanders are the bandwagon team for a lot of squads. And, I mean, people love the Lions down here, too, because the connections with Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn and all that good stuff as well. Detroit, 9.5-point favorites via BetMGM against Washington. And we were talking with Kelsey Nicole Nelson earlier in the show about this. For Detroit, if they don't get off to a fast start and just hit Washington with a tsunami early on, and if it's close and it comes down to the fourth quarter, it's a one-possession type of game, that's where Jaden Daniels and the Commanders get really, really scary. So, Brad, what are your early thoughts on this matchup?
Back door is always wide open.
Yeah, there you go.
Way too many points. Yeah. Way too many points. I'll take the Commanders plus the 9.5. And I kind of like the under on the 55.5 as well. Everybody's expecting points galore. It's going to be like a pinball matchup out there on the field. Scoreboards could be lined up left and right. That could be the case. I mean, given the dynamic play of both these offenses, and the defense is both lackluster. You look at Detroit, number 30 EPA per play defense over the last 5 weeks entering the postseason. Washington a little bit better, but terribly average. Number 19 in that category, the same duration. I think this will be fairly high scoring. I got it in the low 50s on my handicap, something around like maybe 30 to 20. Makes sense, but for the sake of me being with the Commanders, I'm hoping it's going to be 30 to 23. And the one player prop I absolutely love in this one is Diami Brown, kid out of North Carolina, wide awake, came as a sleeper last week and definitely boomed in the box score over 80 yards. It's only 29.5 yards receiving on his prop, and he's going to get a lot of Meek Robertson in coverage. He's going to, you know, absolutely torch him like a creme brulee at times down the field, down the left or right sideline. So it could be a couple of grabs, and he gets 30 yards and 29.5 too low for a guy that is really starting to blossom here down the stretch and in the postseason.
Brad, I think all peeping eyes are going to be watching Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens. And, okay, I said this before, to beat a man, you got to beat the man, but you got one more week to play after that because the Chiefs are probably on the other side waiting for you. But, man, you talk about a rock'em sock'em game. It'll be Buffalo, Baltimore. Your thoughts?
I'll go with the Ravens, boys. We've seen some line slippage as the Bills are laying a point, and now the Ravens are laying a point last check there at BetMGM, and it's moving, I think, in the right direction of who is going to be the winner. Baltimore, to me, right out pound for pound, and being the numbers nerd that I am, all the EPA data backs it up. They're the best team in the NFL. The last 5 weeks, they enter the postseason number one EPA per play offense. Oh, what a quinky dink. Also number one in EPA per play defense. You got the football Frankenstein there and Derrick Henry, who was built for cold weather environments. Lamar Jackson has been a running machine, picking it apart vertically as well. You know, things are trending in the right direction. They could get Zay Flowers back. I don't think they need him. Honestly, I think this game will be high scoring. I like the over at 51.5. I think it's going to be super tight in the end. But there will be a where there's a will, there's a way. And, you know, maybe Tucker, you know, boots one through the upright. I know he's had his struggles, but the opera singer could take a bow at the end as the Baltimore Ravens win on a field goal through the uprights as time expires. So give me Baltimore. I'll lay the simple un punto. And if you like a player prop in this game, give me the over Rashad Bateman, 37.5 receiving yards. I think he's got to catch a long bomb or two in this one and hit that with relative ease.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us. Man, always enjoy it when you come on with us. And, man, I like somebody gives a good opinion. Because a lot of times people, man, they wishy-washy about it. I can't say that about you. You got an opinion, right or wrong, you got one, and a strong one.
Exactly. That's what being a CEO of Team Huevos is all about. Have a good one, gentlemen.
Thanks so much, Brad. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We come back, our triple option feature, myself along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Steve, you first.
Well, first up, gentlemen, a big old happy birthday.
From the 7-yard line.
How about
Breeze in the shotgun, three receivers to his left, Mike Thomas alone to his right. Breeze drops back, has plenty of time, flushes out to the left, he's to the 5. He's going to spin off the tacklers. Drew Brees dives into the end zone. Drew Brees, touchdown, Saints.
Happy 46th birthday to Andrew Christopher Brees. He is a legend, an icon, an inspiration to the city of New Orleans. Multiple records in the NFL. And I know I say this, and everyone will agree with this statement, that we sure do miss him right now.
Well, I would say, Charlie, you next.
As I'm going with one of the weirder stories that has been kind of percolating over the last few months in the NFL, Diontae Johnson.
Oh,
I mean, he was cut by the Texans after apparently, like, he's apparently a locker room cancer. He was cut by the Texans after sulking after their playoff victory against the Chargers, kind of being the bad apple in the room, so to speak.
Wasn't involved.
And now he's been picked back up by the Baltimore Ravens. Which, let me kind of recap for y'all.
Okay, that don't make a damn bit of sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me either, Mike. But this is what's happened for Diontae Johnson this year. He was traded from the Steelers to the Panthers. The Panthers moved on from him. The Ravens picked him up in a trade ahead of the trade deadline. The Ravens cut him. The Texans pick him up because they had so many wide receiver injuries. And then the Texans just cut him. The Ravens pick him back up. It's been a really weird story to kind of follow, guys.
And goes to show you, if you're talented, you get a bunch of chances in this league.
But get this,
Diontae
Mike,
Johnson is talented. That's why he's getting all these chances.
Joe Person, who covers the Panthers for The Athletic, had the great tweet that Cullen had sent me. Diontae Johnson now has as many transactions as catches, 5 of each, wow, since week 6.
Yow.
Now, so, he's not going to be available for the postseason roster.
No, this is no. what Adam Schefter had posted.
After the year.
Back to Baltimore, the Ravens claimed their former wide receiver Diontae Johnson on waivers today from the Texans, per the league's wire. This is a procedural move, and Johnson won't officially be awarded to the Ravens until after the Super Bowl. But he qualifies as an unrestricted free agent this offseason, and if he signs with another team, he factors into Baltimore's compensatory pick formula, potentially helping it obtain an additional draft pick in 2026. So Johnson doesn't have the ability to play this postseason, won't step foot back on the Ravens practice facility, but Baltimore is using them to potentially get an extra draft pick in 2026.
Man, you got smart people in the front office.
Yeah, the Ravens know what they're doing.
They know how to move those chess pieces all around the board real well. And man, again, I go back to it, and that was going to be part of what I was going to talk about. When you're a talented guy in this league, okay, you can cut up a little bit. And they put up with it until the point where, okay, I got to cut you loose. But you get another chance and another chance and another chance. Look at Diontae Johnson. He's a perfect example of in the NFL, because a lot of people felt when he went to Carolina, he was going to be their number one guy this year. Now, he took a shot at the owner, which, okay, doing it to that guy, you wasn't going to stay real long there. And he got cut loose. But because he's so talented, he will get multiple chances. And again, I don't know how long the Ravens are going to keep him. That was a procedural maneuver for compensatory picks. That's all that was. And the Ravens sort of, you know, they smelled it out on that deal, that that's what we're going to do to bring him back. And it does help them to maybe get a late round compensatory pick.
It's really fascinating to see kind of develop. It's been a strange journey for Diontae Johnson.
Man, has it?
Yeah.
It he might, got some W-2s this year.
Before we hit the break, I wanted you to kind of answer this question from some of our listeners that were texting in earlier this hour about the difference with college versus NFL hash marks.
Yes, the way you line up in the college game because of the wider hash, there's certain plays that, okay, it's all tight in the NFL. If you try that same stuff in the way the linemen are kind of lined, defensive and offensive linemen, not going to work. And Joe brought it up in the offseason that he had to learn that there was a difference there. Certain plays with that wider hash worked at the collegiate level. Okay, it's just not about calling a play. Those guys can fill those gaps in very quickly at the NFL level. So he had to kind of change up a little bit and understand that with a narrow gap up front, it really affects your running game. It affects on not only the inside stuff, but also off the edge. Because now those guys, you know, in the college game, they can sort of line themselves off and put you like a little wall. In the NFL, it's really close. So, you know, calling that same play, ain't going to work. And he's admitted that was part of his game, of not understanding the running game and how it affected him because of the wider hashes, where you had a little bit more room to get that running back through than you do with a much narrower hash mark. And, man, I give Joe a lot of credit. He learned it, and, man, look the success the Bills have. It also helps, too, when you got a great running quarterback.
Yeah.
Man, Josh, okay, you can do all that, and all of a sudden, man, the sea parts open like the Red Sea, and he takes off running.
Someone made a point that 7 of the 8, and maybe he could kind of say closer to 6 of the 8 of the remaining quarterbacks are mobile quarterbacks. With Mahomes, mobile QB, Josh Allen, mobile QB, Lamar, obviously, a mobile QB. And then CJ, he can move.
If he wanted to, he could.
He's not
That's
really,
not his game.
On the opposite side, in the NFC, Jalen Hurts, obviously a mobile QB, you know, Jaden is, but not really Goff or Matt Stafford, obviously. So I think
Neither
it's
one.
Like 6, maybe 5 of the remaining NFL QBs are mobile.
Think about it. Of the 8 remaining quarterbacks, 7 of them were picked in round 1. Only one wasn't. Jalen Hurts. He got picked in round 2. Uh-huh. But look at this year. Of the 8 quarterbacks entering this weekend, 7 went in round 1, and 2 went first overall. When you think about it, Matt Stafford and Jared Goff. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk here on the Big 870, I want to thank Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight. Always does a great job. He's opinionated. I like that. Right or wrong, he's going to give you a strong opinion about something. Tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, Pelicans pregame as the Pelicans play the Dallas Mavericks. We got to get a lineup card to figure out who's playing with the injuries on both sides. And then at 7 o'clock, tip-off. Graf will make the call here. Dallas Pelicans, right after this break, more news, Sports Talk.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk, an abbreviated edition. At 6:30, we'll go to pregame coverage of the Pelicans taking on the Dallas Mavericks tonight. A 7 o'clock tip-off. The Pelicans coming away with a 6-point victory in Chicago last night. Trey Murphy went off, had a great night. Also, Zion Williamson, who unfortunately will not be available for the Pels tonight. They're resting him since it's a back-to-back, still coming back from that hamstring issue that he was dealing with. Pelicans are actually a 1.5-point underdog at home this evening. They've got a 5-16 overall record in the Smoothie King Center. Meanwhile, the visiting Dallas Mavericks are 22-18 and have a 500 record on the road. They are 10-10 away. And man, they're going to be dealing with a lot of their key pieces tonight. No Kyrie Irving, no Luka Doncic, and no Derek Lively for the Mavs. So I guess you could say that kind of balances things out with the Pelicans not having a guy like Zion Williamson or Brandon Ingram still dealing with an injury. He is not in the lineup as well. And Herb Jones still dealing with his shoulder issue. But the Pels have a chance to get back in that win column tonight. Pretty impressive from the team yesterday. I didn't know what to expect in Chicago from this squad. But I will say the energy was at least there from the team, even though I think they put up like 53-point shots and didn't make many of them, Charlie.
Yeah, so the Bulls are kind of in a labyrinth right now of mediocrity.
Right.
Where it feels like every year, I saw a stat that, you know, now they're 18-22 at this point. I think last year they were like 19-21 through 40 games. And then like the year before that, they were also 18-22. So they're just cycling through. You know, they're going to be probably the 10 seed and sneak into the play-in tournament and lose again. So the Bulls are in a weird spot. But the fact that the game was so competitive, back and forth for the first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter happened. And this is where, yes, we've talked about basically ad nauseum from this show, you know, the Zion Williamson news that he's not playing in this game, which is just terrible. However, you know, last night's game, the fourth quarter, when the Pelicans offense started going off for basically a 4 or 5 minute run there at the start of the fourth quarter, that was a ton of fun, Steve. They turned an 86-86 game into basically a 16-point lead. It went all the way up to, I think it was 112-96, right? So they went on a 22-6 run at one point. Jose Alvarado was hitting everything that he threw up.
Yeah, he was hot.
Yeah, he got red hot. Trey Murphy putting in another 32-point performance. He's been outstanding in his fourth year in New Orleans. I've been singing his praises for a while now. And it was a good win because now you go 2-1 on that road trip. You've won 4 of your last 7 since the turn of the new year. The Pelicans are doing some good things right now. And you know, you're looking at this matchup tonight against Dallas, and we'll hear from Willie Green in just a second here. As you mentioned, no Luka Doncic, no Kyrie Irving, in all likelihood he's doubtful, and no Derek Lively, who is a huge key piece for them. We talked with Jake Madison about this yesterday, and Jake had kind of highlighted Derek Lively as one of those pieces that he was a little bit concerned about because, you know, pick and rolls, just throw him up lobs, it's easy points. He's a very talented young big, but he suffered an ankle injury, so he's going to be out for tonight. So the Pelicans, you know, they're going to be missing some key pieces. No Herb Jones, no Brandon Ingram, no Zion Williamson. But they're also facing off against a shorthanded Mavericks team with no Luka Doncic, in all likelihood no Kyrie Irving, and no Derek Lively.
Who are three those back-to-back games, right?
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? But they're down 3 of their best starters, too. So, you know, the Pelicans, we'll see if they can pick up another one here.
You mentioned Willie Green. He just spoke to the media as his team gets ready for that 7 o'clock tip-off. Here are Willie Green's pregame comments before they take on the Dallas Mavericks.
I think energy overall has been up kind of since the new year, especially these last 3 games. What kind of have you seen on that front?
We were trending trending upward, I would say, even before we got to the new year. But, you know, getting guys healthy and you know, having that full confidence in what our team can do on the floor, it allows the energy to go up with all of our guys.
Following up on that, the role of Javonte Green in the last couple of weeks, what he has done on the floor, not even just scoring, but everything else he's done to contribute to what's going on.
Yeah, he's been really good for us. And behind the scenes, I don't think people can appreciate. I won't say can't appreciate, but he does a lot to you know, keep himself ready to play. He's always doing extra work, his lifting, preparing himself, preparing his body, and doing extra conditioning. And we're seeing all of the details sort of pay off when he gets on the floor. So I'm proud of him, and you know, hopefully we can continue to get him playing at a high level like he's been doing.
And Willie, with Zion, is it more of a team decision, or is it his decision, or how does it kind of work when you all decide to hold out on the second night of his back-to-back?
It's more of a team decision, yeah.
And Najee Marshall, just kind of, what have you kind of seen from him now that he's, you know, with him and kind of a bigger role, I guess, over there? But what do you
Najee? First of all, I'm proud of Naj. You know, his maturity, his growth, you know, he was a huge part of our success here, and you know, we miss him, but we're all proud of what he's doing, his accomplishments, you know, signing a big contract this season. We can congratulated him, and you know, he's going to be a force for years to come, and I'm really, really proud to see how he's handling a bigger role and really instrumental on a really good team.
Willie, asked you a couple of days before Christmas about Trey and potentially his future All-Star prospects, right? He was coming off a 28-point game against Memphis. Since that time, he's really, I think, over the last 10 games, averaging, you know, 25 points a game, over five rebounds, three assists. You know the numbers. Have you seen him take a step forward? Because back then I asked you, and you said he needs to be consistently good to great. You want to see more aggression all across the court. Have you seen all those things since roughly that time?
I am. I am seeing Trey take a, you know, maybe a step and a half. He is taking full advantage of the opportunity that's in front of him. He has so much gravity when he's on the floor, and his confidence is growing and growing. The guys are feeding off of him, and it's that's what you want to see from your players, be able to step into a role and extend that role, and he's been doing that.
That was Pelicans head coach Willie Green as the Birds get ready to do battle with the Dallas Mavericks. 6:30 pregame coverage coming up right here on WWL with a 7 o'clock tip-off. We're going to take a break, be right back after these messages, and then we'll close out Sports Talk getting ready for the Pelicans right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk as we get ready to take on Pelicans basketball this evening in the Smoothie King Center. The Birds back in action on a back-to-back. Home tonight, though, taking on the Dallas Mavericks. You mentioned, Charlie, that the money line is actually in favor of Dallas.
So it opened, Dallas was originally the favorite, but now with all the news that Kyrie Irving is doubtful,
flip-flop.
So now the Pelicans are technically favored, and I think that's the right way to think about it. It's like, if you're the Pelicans, you've won 4 of your last 7 games, you're feeling good in the new year, you've got the better players available in this game in all likelihood, with Trey and CJ and DeJounte all still playing this game. I know that you're missing Zion, no BI, you know, but at the same time, no Herb as well. You're not playing Luka Doncic, you're not playing Kyrie Irving, and you're not playing Derek Lively.
Right, you don't have their big names either.
Exactly. So, you know, the Pelicans won a half-point favorite slam the Smoothie King Center. We'll see if they can pick up another win.
6:30 pregame coverage coming up next right here, and also the 7 o'clock tip-off on 870 AM and 105.3 FM. I'm Steve Geller for Charlie Long. Everybody have a great evening, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow with more Sports Talk right here on WWL. Have a good night, everyone.